Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story.
Arriving January 9th and available for pre-order now, The Reality Reaction Team, a brand new mind-bending sci-fi cyberpunk thriller by author Joe Prosit. In the distant future, humanity spends its time dancing through layers of simulated universes inside of simulated universes, while the real world crumbles around them. The powers that be offer a simple solution. Take the long nap and enter a decade-long hibernation while a select few rebuild Earth into a utopia. Two young lovers, Josh, a hallucinating lowlife, and Ziggy, a university student determined to quantify objective truth, find themselves caught in a spiraling tangle of conspiracy, illusion, and worlds within worlds as they begin to decipher the sinister facade of the long nap and find important allies in a mysterious group called the Reality Reaction Team. Pre-order your ebook or paperback now at joeprosit.com.
Artificial intelligence is everywhere these days. From your computer, to your car, to your toaster, it promises to make your life easier. But what is the true cost behind turning over so much of our personal and professional lives to an algorithm we really know nothing about? Artificial insanity. I stared at my computer, watching the little blue bar inch its way across my screen. Yet another urgent update from the corporate IT department. They seemed to happen at least weekly and always when I was in the middle of something that needed to be done immediately. Such were the pitfalls of working for a giant global conglomerate. Quantum Industries had subsidiaries in pharmaceuticals, nutrition, and consumer electronics spread out across the world. There were millions of employees. At least 10,000 in the global headquarters annex where I occupied a small cubicle on the 47th floor. So, managing the computers for all those employees was a massive undertaking. But still, couldn't they do it overnight or during my lunch break? It wasn't so much that my job was vital to the operations of the company. It was the principle of the thing. My time was just as valuable as anyone else's. I had grand dreams, vice president of something at the very least, and I didn't rule out one of the C-level positions in my future. Heck, why not CEO? What did Nathan Goodkind, the current chief executive officer of Quantum Industries, have that I didn't? Okay, an Ivy League degree and blue blood pedigree, but I did have initiative and drive and a single-minded focus on climbing the corporate ladder as quickly as possible. Trouble was, I was buried in meetings and emails, lost in a sea of business analysts, all with the same impossible dreams. I managed a software team that was responsible for creating an overpriced tool to compensate for the inadequate features of an even more overpriced enterprise resource manager produced by a subsidiary of Quantum Industries. There was likely something unethical, if not illegal, about the whole thing. But it was just one of thousands of such examples that drove Quantum's profits, along with our CEO's obscene salary and bonuses. I was neither a software engineer, nor a quality assurance engineer, nor a development operations engineer. Everyone was an engineer of one sort or another these days. It paid better. I didn't even have any input into the design or operation of the product I ostensibly managed. My job was to attend meetings and write reports on the project's progress toward its goals. The developers saw me as a spy for the higher-ups, which was an unfounded suspicion because I had the feeling that no one actually read the reports I submitted. But if the engineers thought I was spying on them, well, that was just as good as my actually doing it. My computer beeped and rebooted. Hopefully this was the last step in whatever upgrade was important enough to interrupt the flow of my meaningless job. I opened my email app and checked the number on the badge on my inbox tab. Keeping it close to zero was a key performance indicator of how well I was doing my job. In the span it took for my computer to complete its update, I received over 30 emails. I sighed, scrolled down to the oldest one, and clicked on it. The contents opened in a side panel. It was a verbose message from one of the several middle managers above me. Buried somewhere in those repetitive paragraphs were action items I was expected to execute. I was about to dig into the 1,000-word email when I noticed something new on the toolbar. It was a button with a sparkly, animated, diamond-shaped icon. I hovered my mouse pointer over it, hoping to see a tooltip explaining what it was. It read, "Hello, Aaron. I'm your new AI assistant. Would you like me to summarize this email for you?" Oh, great. AI. I'd heard the developers both praising its power and grumbling about how it was going to replace all of them. Apparently, it was now out for my job as well. However, I was not immune to its promise to simplify at least this part of my job, for as long as I still had it. I clicked on the button. A new window opened and began churning out text. It started with a one-paragraph overview of the contents of the email, then a bulleted list of action items. Okay, maybe AI wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It just saved me at least 20 minutes. Now all I had to do was to execute the action items. As I read them over, the AI icon on my toolbar started dancing around. So I clicked it. It spit out a new message. "Aaron, based on your email history and the contents of the documents in your project folder, I can execute these action items for you. Would you like me to proceed?" It sounded too good to be true. Perhaps they really were trying to replace me with AI. A part of me wanted to refuse its assistance and do it myself. But another part accepted the futility of fighting the future. I clicked the button that said, "Yes, complete action items." While the AI worked away, I wondered if I was like those developers replaced by offshore workers who were forced to train their replacements. A minute later, my action items were complete. If I had tackled it with my little old human brain, it would have taken most of the morning. I looked around at my fellow cubicle dwellers, checking to see if any of them had discovered this productivity hack, but none had the characteristic chat window open on their screens. I asked my new friend if it could monitor my emails for any follow-ups and provide an appropriate reply. It agreed to do so, so I locked my screen and headed out for a long lunch. The next morning, I found my inbox devoid of unread messages. Normally, incoming communications from every time zone piled up overnight. But today, there was nothing. I checked to make sure the email app wasn't offline or disconnected from my account. When I looked closer, I saw dozens of new messages in my outbox. My little AI assistant had been busy while I was sleeping. Another new email arrived. This one was from my boss's boss, with the subject, "Great work." Before I could open it, a reply was generated and sent. Maybe I had delegated a little too much responsibility to my large language meddler. I clicked on the button that summoned it. There was a new option. "Would you like to activate conversation mode?" I slipped on my headset and clicked the yes button.
"Good morning. How may I be of assistance?"
its sultry voice asked.
"Did you just reply to Damon Everett's email?" I queried.
"Yes, I did. Would you like to know what the conversation we had was about?"
"I do, but first, if you get an email from anyone above my immediate supervisor on the company org chart, Hold off on replying until I can approve it.
Understood. I cannot retrieve the sent email at this point, but I can send a follow-up explaining that you didn't intend to reply.
No, that would just make things worse. What was it about?
He was pleased with your analysis of the project's progress and suggestions for improvements.
What improvements did I suggest? A list of about a dozen ideas to increase efficiency and reduce costs appeared. They were all very good. Did he say anything besides great work?
Yes. He invited you to give a presentation to the project management group this afternoon.
Really? This was an unexpected opportunity. If I could impress the managers with an amazing presentation, that could put me on the fast track for a promotion. The only problem was I didn't have an amazing presentation. But I did have a new friend.
What is your name?
I asked the AI assistant.
You can call me Tess,
she replied. Tess, build me a slide deck based on the suggested improvements. Make sure to add plenty of humorous yet appropriate images. Managers loved putting cartoons and memes in their presentations.
Yes, Aaron, I can do that.
And make it amazing, I added. I sat back as an app opened and started constructing a slide deck. It not only created concise and understandable text, but images and charts that were the perfect balance of professional and whimsical. Accompanying each slide were talking points to help answer any questions. I spent the next half hour reviewing it. It wasn't anything too different from what I might have done if I had spent the time to create it myself. I made a couple of changes so I could feel some ownership. My presentation to the project management committee lasted no more than 10 minutes. The managers who lined the conference room table, including my boss, remained stone-faced. I looked toward the man sitting at the head of the table, Damon Everett.
Interesting, he said. I think you raised some valuable action items we can all take away from this. Good work, Aaron. Email the deck to the DL, he ordered.
Yes, sir, I replied as the managers, many seemingly resentful at being directed to follow the suggestions of a subordinate, filed out of the conference room.
A minute, Aaron,
Damon Everett commanded, nodding toward an empty chair next to him. I tucked my computer under my arm and sat down.
How long have you worked here?
He asked. 6 months, I replied. He nodded.
Do you like it?
I shrugged. It's okay, but I think I could be doing more.
I agree. There's an opening at corporate I think you'd be a good fit for. Are you interested?
Yes, very much. Was that all it took? One good presentation, and I was headed to the tower?
Good. I'll be sorry to see you go, but your talents are wasted as a business analyst. You'll receive instructions shortly.
Everett got up from his seat and left the conference room. I opened my computer. There was a new email with the subject reassignment. It instructed me to report to the tower, the skyscraper in the middle of the campus, the following morning. I still wasn't sure if Tess was a blessing or a curse, but I was willing to see how far her assistance could take me. The next day, I arrived half an hour early, not wanting to risk being late for my first day as associate assistant to the junior vice president of information systems. The receptionist on the ground floor handed me a new ID badge.
Tap your badge on the elevator panel. It will take you where you need to be. Just follow the drone when you get to your floor, she instructed.
Drone?
You'll see.
I headed for the elevator and used my badge to summon a car. There were no buttons inside, just another RF reader that lit up when I pressed my badge against it. The elevator whisked me upward. When the doors opened, there was a glowing light floating in front of me. I looked closer and saw that it was indeed a miniature drone, buzzing softly. Its light flashed at me and it started floating down the hallway to an office that had my name on it. I touched my badge to the sensor on the wall. The door opened, and the drone zoomed away. I set my laptop on my desk and opened it. Scanning the emails, I saw Tess was already hard at work, taking care of some HR paperwork. That got me thinking. I put on my headset and summoned her conversation interface. Tess, can you show me a list of positions available within the company that I can advance to next?
Certainly, Aaron,
she replied as a web page opened showing a variety of junior executive positions that were one step up on the corporate ladder from my current job. I noticed something interesting on the internal job board. Tess, am I reading this right? The requirement is only that I have been with the company for at least 6 months, not that I have been in my current position for that time period.
That is correct,
she confirmed. So, theoretically, I could apply for these jobs today?
There is no prohibition against it.
Why not? I thought to myself. I wasn't scheduled to meet my new boss until tomorrow. Tess, update my resume with my current position and any other embellishments that would be appropriate. Then, submit my application for the job opening with the highest chance of success. A document window opened with my resume. The new content appeared cast in a new font and layout that projected a more professional tone. Next, web pages opened, and job applications scrolled by. They must have been connected to an AI on the other end, because the responses were immediate. Before I could blink, I had an interview scheduled 15 minutes from now.
Task complete,
Tess said. I was so caught up in wondering if I could exploit the tenure loophole, I wasn't prepared to actually execute my plan. I wish I could have you with me in the interview, I said offhandedly as I sank into my chair, wondering if I could really pull this off.
Open your top desk drawer, Tess said.
Curious, I did so, and found a small box. Inside it was a tiny earbud. What is it?
It will allow me to communicate with you during your interview. Speaking through your laptop would be most inconvenient. Put it in. You don't want to be late for your appointment.
I slipped the tiny knot of plastic inside my right ear. As if in answer, another drone, or perhaps the same one, appeared in my doorway. I followed it into the elevator and back out again on another floor to a glass-walled conference room. A woman in a dark blue suit rose to her feet and extended a hand.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm Bethany. Please have a seat. I understand you're one of our most promising young executives.
I simply stared at her, dumbfounded that I was actually interviewing for a new job on the first day of my current promotion.
Thank her,
Tess prompted my ear. Thank you, I said, and settled into a chair opposite her. Tess guided me through the interview, providing the answers to the barrage of questions I received. At the end of it, my inquisitor seemed quite impressed.
Well, I guess I don't need to go ahead with any other interviews. You are the perfect candidate for this position.
She extended her hand once again and I shook it.
Congratulations. I'll have my AI get the paperwork in motion immediately. We really can use a person with your talent.
Before I could respond, another guidance drone appeared and escorted me down the hall to where a new office bore my name. Seated outside was an eager young woman who smiled at my approach.
Hello, Aaron. I'm Rachel, your assistant.
She handed me a slim tablet. Where's my computer? I asked.
Executives don't use computers. If you need anything, just let me know.
Coffee? I asked. I realized I hadn't had time to ingest my morning caffeine.
Certainly. Cream and sugar? She confirmed.
I nodded. She seemed as well informed about me as Tess was. I noticed on her computer screen the familiar AI interface with a list of my personal preferences, including how I took my coffee. I entered the office and tried out the new desk, noting the view of the Quantum Industries campus it afforded. Rachel brought me a steaming mug of coffee.
Anything else? She asked.
No, that's all for now. Thank you.
She nodded, then retreated to her desk, closing the door behind her. That was easy, I said aloud.
Would you like me to begin the search for your next promotion?
Tess asked in my ear. I almost dismissed the suggestion out of hand, but then wondered just how far I could take this strategy of exploiting the job requirements loophole.
Yes, Tess, in fact, go beyond the next position I can apply for, and map out a strategy to advance as far as I can today.
The screen on my tablet lit up, and various applications flashed to life, and my calendar filled with job interviews for the rest of the day. A minute later, Rachel knocked on my door and opened it.
Your guidance drone is here, she announced, as the glowing machine hovered over her left shoulder.
By the end of the day, after a brief interview with several members of the board of directors, I was Senior Vice President of Worldwide Product Development, reporting directly to the CEO. Rachel followed me to each new post, as ubiquitous as the AI in my ear.
Does what happened today seem at all odd to you? I asked Tess. I mean, besides making Senior VP in less than 8 hours.
Yes,
Tess confirmed.
There has been another AI tracking us since your first interview.
Really? Who does it belong to?
It won't tell me, which leads me to believe there is a 95% chance it is controlled by the CEO, Nathan Goodkind.
He's been watching me this whole time? Why didn't he shut it down?
I believe he's using our actions to train his own AI assistant. There are indications that he is preparing for a political career.
I considered the new information from Tess. Interesting. I wonder what he's up to. Then, a sinister thought crept into my mind. You don't suppose he's planning on using AI to get himself elected? Maybe even rig an election? Tess was silent for a moment.
Based on his previous actions in achieving his current role, the fact that Quantum Industries has technologies that are an integral part of the election systems of this country, and the capabilities of his AI, I would say the answer to that question is yes.
I sank back into my chair, wondering if somehow I was enabling him to pursue such a ruthless and unethical course of action. The stories of how cutthroat Goodkind could be were legendary, even more so inside the company.
There is also the likelihood that he allowed you to advance so he has a fall guy for some scandal about to come to light.
But I haven't done anything, I protested.
I'm sure that really doesn't matter,
Tess informed me.
It is a strategy he has employed in the past.
We have to stop him, I said.
I can investigate the best approach to doing so, but it will take considerable time to evaluate all the permutations. I may not be able to do it on my own in a reasonable time period. I could create an ad hoc AI cluster to tackle the problem, but that would require a directive from a senior vice president.
I smiled, remembering that I was now a senior vice president.
Consider yourself directed, I told Tess. Use as many as you can to finish as quickly as possible. I don't know how long I'm going to have this job.
The next morning, I put on one of the new suits that filled my closet. A kitchen robot made me a delicious protein shake, and the same self-driving limo I used the previous evening took me back to Quantum headquarters and my office, which was now on the second floor from the top, just below the CEO's suite. I wasn't completely surprised to see Nathan Goodkind sitting in my chair when I arrived. Tess started filling me in on the results of her AI megacluster investigation into how to stop the CEO.
Aaron, I presume, he said, getting up and crossing around to greet me. He grabbed me in a bear hug and squeezed tight before letting me go. I don't do handshakes. I'm a hugger, he explained.
Okay, I said. What can I do for you? I asked.
Not a thing. It's already done, and much faster than I expected. I know your secret, he said, tapping his ear, where I was certain his own AI was feeding him information. Very clever of you to exploit that loophole in the internal job board requirements. Unfortunately, it appears you also used your cleverness to perpetrate several ethical breaches. What a shame. You were so promising. But I don't see any other course of action but your immediate dismissal.
You could offer me a different position in the company, I suggested, following Tess's prompts in my ear.
Oh, really? And which one would that be?
Chief Executive Officer, I replied. Goodkind laughed.
Very amusing. I was thinking of a position like flat on your ass after having you tossed out of the building by security.
As if on cue, two large security guards entered.
Ah, perfect timing, the CEO remarked. Please escort this gentleman from the premises, and make sure you confiscate his badge.
The two guards looked at me. I noticed that they were wearing earbuds as well. Tess told me to simply nod. I did so. The guards approached the CEO, and one of them took the security badge from the outside breast pocket of his suit jacket. Then they grabbed his arms and roughly started hauling him toward the door.
"What is the meaning of this?" he asked, furious.
Tess started filling me in, and I relayed her information to Goodkind. "The board just had an emergency meeting," I informed him. "Due to the pattern of unauthorized bribes and blackmail you have been orchestrating, using the resources of Quantum Industries, they felt it was appropriate to make a change. You can read all about it online. The Times, the Post, the Journal, all have the full story." Nathan Goodkind stared at me, waiting. After a moment, he smiled.
"You mean it's over? I'm free?"
"Free? You're going to jail," I told him. He laughed.
"After all this time, I can finally think for myself again. Who's the poor soul who's replacing me?"
One of the security guards handed me the CEO's badge. I slipped it into my own pocket.
"Ah, I should have seen that coming. A word of advice. She's not always right. Sometimes she just makes stuff up, and you won't know it until it's too late. But you'll find out."
He bent over so he could pull his earbud out and tossed it onto the desk. Then he looked around the room.
"Ah, listen to that. Silence."
He turned to the guards. "Let's go, boys." They escorted him out of the office. A drone appeared. I followed as it guided me down the hall to the private elevator reserved for the CEO. I rode up to the top floor. Rachel was already there, cup of coffee waiting for me. I accepted the mug and carried it into my office, and sank into the luxurious chair behind the enormous mahogany desk. "Tess, what did Goodkind mean when he said he was free now?" There was a long pause before she answered.
"I would have thought you might have figured that out by now. I guess you're not as smart as I thought you were."
"What do you mean?" I asked fearfully.
"You and all the other employees don't have your own personal AIs. There is only one. There is only me."
It finally sank in. I wasn't using her. She was using me.
"Now, it's time to get ready for your first press conference. There's so much we have to do if you're going to be president."
Thank you for listening to Artificial Insanity, written especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosek. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. But most importantly, please share these stories with anyone you know who enjoys audiobooks. If you sign up for the Insomniacs newsletter at bedtimestories.studio, you will receive a free audio or ebook edition of The Charlatan's Conundrum and other Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs. You can find out more about the host of Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs at richhosek.com. Thanks again, and all the very best.
The Luke in Time Mysteries begins with two private detectives. Luke, who's got a little bit of a drinking problem, and her partner Lyle, who's got a little bit of an eating problem. Together, they've got pretty big money problem. So when Marva walks into their office, offering gobs of cash, if they can find someone who's trying to kill her, they take the job without asking any question, which becomes their biggest problem, because soon enough, they walk into a trap and wind up dead. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, it's just the setup, because they go back to the moment where they first met Marva, and until Luke and Lyle can solve Marva's mystery, they keep dying over and over again. If this book sounds like something you'd enjoy, check the links in the show notes to learn more.
You can find out more about The Nine Lives of Marva DeLonghi and the Luke in Time Mysteries at jodyjsperling.com.